Hello there. I'm Stephen Bigelow, features writer with TechTarget's Storage Media Group. And if you're new to storage concepts, I'd like to tell you a few things about hard drives. Any enterprise storage system can be broken down into components. At the very lowest level, hard disks are the medium that hold vital corporate data. From mundane memorandums to mission-critical sales records, the choice of hard disks can have a profound impact on the capacity, performance, and long-term reliability of any storage infrastructure. But it's unwise to trust valuable data to any single point of failure, so hard disks are combined into groups that can boost performance and offer redundancy in the event of disk faults. At an even higher level, those arrays can be combined into the storage infrastructure, bringing storage together with network technologies to make data available to users over a LAN or WAN. The most logical place for us to start is with the hard disks themselves. Hard disks are random access storage mechanisms that relegate data to spinning platters called disks. Disks are coated with an extremely sensitive magnetic media, and magnetic read-write heads step across the radius of each platter in set increments, forming concentric circles of data dubbed tracks. Hard disk capacity is loosely defined by the quality of the magnetic media in bits per inch and the number of tracks, so a late model hard drive with superior media and finer head control can achieve far more storage capacity than models even just a year old. Some of today's hard drives can deliver 400 to 500 gigabytes of storage capacity. The performance of a hard disk is heavily influenced by the rotational speed, or RPM, of the platters and the interface that connects the drive to its host computer. Speeds from 5400 to 7200 RPM are most common in personal computers and secondary storage systems, while 10,000 and 15,000 RPM disks are allotted to servers and primary storage systems. The interface itself manages data transfer to and from the drive. Both ATA and SCSI interfaces are traditional parallel architectures that transfer commands and data across multiple data lines simultaneously. ATA offered lower data rates and was mainly employed in personal computers, while SCSI provided faster data rates and appeared in workstations and servers. Serial ATA and serial attached SCSI are more current interfaces that pass ATA and SCSI commands serially along a single data wire. The move to serial cabling allows for faster data transfers and simpler, less expensive connections. The interface itself has no direct impact on the capacity of a hard disk. Fiber channel is another popular serial disk interface frequently found in enterprise storage environments. Fiber channel is known for its tremendous speed, such as 2 gigabits per second and more recently 4 gigabits per second of data transfer, along with some integrity features. Fiber channel is also a switched interface, so it's possible to create a fabric of storage devices and hosts where every host can see every storage device, vastly improving the availability of corporate data. This is a fundamental technology behind the storage area network. The next level involves grouping hard disks into RAID arrays. Hard disks are electromechanical devices, and their working life is finite. Media faults, mechanical wear, and electronic failures can all cause problems that render drive contents inaccessible. This is unacceptable for any organization, so tactics are often implemented to protect against failure. One of the most common data protection tactics is arranging groups of disks into redundant arrays of independent disks, or RAID arrays. RAID implementations typically offer two benefits: data redundancy and enhanced performance. Redundancy is achieved by copying data to two or more disks. When a fault occurs on one hard disk, duplicate data on another can be used instead. In many cases, file contents are also spanned or striped across multiple hard disks. This improves performance because the various parts of a file can be accessed on multiple disks simultaneously, rather than waiting for a complete file to be accessed from a single disk. RAID can be implemented in a variety of schemes, each with its own designation. RAID 0 involves disk striping and is used to improve storage performance, but there's no redundancy. RAID 1 is disk mirroring. It offers disk-to-disk data redundancy, but capacity is reduced and performance is only marginally enhanced. RAID 5 uses parity and records parity information about disk data spread throughout the disk group. This improves read performance and allows data from a failed drive to be reconstructed once the failed drive is replaced. RAID 6 uses multiple parity schemes, and the data is also spread throughout the disk group, allowing data for up to two simultaneously failed drives to be reconstructed once the failed drives are replaced. There are additional levels, of course, but these four are the most common and widely used. It's also possible to mix RAID levels in order to obtain greater benefits. Combinations are generally denoted with two digits. For example, RAID 50 or 5 plus 0 is a combination of RAID 5 and RAID 0. As another example, RAID 10 is actually RAID 1 and RAID 0 implemented together. Beyond RAID groups, hard disks are also organized into storage arrays. There are many ways to group hard disks, and enterprise storage can easily involve dozens to hundreds of disks arranged into storage arrays. The very largest arrays can store hundreds of terabytes, even petabytes of data. The most basic expression of disk grouping is JBOD, or just a bunch of disks. This is simply the accumulation of pure capacity and doesn't offer any redundancy or performance benefit. For example, putting five 200 gigabyte drives in a JBOD arrangement simply yields 1 terabyte of unprotected storage. As we've already mentioned, RAID arrays group relatively small sets of disks to work cooperatively for redundancy and added performance, often both. However, redundancy costs drive space. Suppose there are 10 200 gigabyte drives. That's 2 gigabytes of raw storage, but mirroring will cut that total in half to 1 gigabyte of mirrored storage. Advanced RAID configurations like RAID 6 can ease the need for redundant disk space by using parity techniques on a dedicated drive. The parity data is then used to rebuild the data on the failed drive. Storage arrays can also be classified as modular or monolithic. A modular storage array, like EMC's Clarion AX100, is typically small and self-contained, with less than 24 drives, designed for lighter traffic patterns found in small and mid-sized organizations. New modular arrays can be acquired to keep pace with growing storage needs. In contrast, a monolithic storage array, such as EMC's Symmetrix, Hitachi Data Systems Lightning, and IBM's DS8000 can be dramatically larger, hosting hundreds of drives with the communication capability to handle heavy network traffic. The expense and management overhead needed for monolithic arrays usually result in just a few key deployments. The actual line between modular and monolithic arrays is blurring a little bit today. There's no clear line of demarcation, and the features found in high-end arrays are frequently appearing in smaller, lower-end systems. Clustering is a relatively new concept in storage. Storage clusters are basically groups of storage arrays sharing redundant connections to work cooperatively as a single storage system. The use of multiple arrays can service storage requests very quickly, resulting in superior performance while supporting large numbers of users. There's also inherent redundancy. When one element of the cluster fails, the other elements take over without interruption to ensure that data is continuously available. Storage clusters are generally deployed where top performance and storage system uptime are most crucial. Of course, the final piece of the puzzle is getting storage on the network itself. Of course, storage is useless unless network users can access it. There are two principal means of attaching storage systems to the network, NAS and SAN. Network-attached storage, or NAS, boxes are storage devices behind an Ethernet interface, effectively connecting disks to the network through a single IP address. NAS deployments are typically straightforward, and management requirements are light, so new NAS devices can easily be added as more storage is needed. The downside to NAS is performance. Storage traffic has to compete for NAS access across the Ethernet cable. But NAS access is often superior to disk access, and local server access, so there are some clear benefits to NAS technology. The Storage Area Network, or SAN, overcomes common server and NAS performance limitations by creating a subnetwork of storage devices interconnected through a switched fabric, like Fiber Channel or iSCSI, which is Internet SCSI or SCSI over IP. Both Fiber Channel and iSCSI approaches make any storage device visible from any host and offer much more availability for corporate data. Fiber Channel is costlier, but offers optimum performance, while iSCSI is cheaper, but somewhat slower and easier to manage. Consequently, Fiber Channel is found in the enterprise, and iSCSI commonly appears in small and mid-sized businesses. However, SAN deployments are more costly to implement in terms of switches, cabling, and host bus adapters, and demand is far greater in terms of management. Well, that's it for now. I'm Stephen Bigelow, features writer for TechTarget's Storage Media Group, and you can learn more about storage at www.searchstorage.com.